Thank you, Mr. Parker. Good morning, everyone. Well, brethren, you may be surprised and even intrigued when I tell you that at home I have a treasure chest. And it is filled with, you guessed it, treasure. Now, right now, you may be thinking of pirate movies and buried treasure. But my chest is not made of wood. It doesn't have stout cast iron hinges. Actually, it's a cardboard box. And as for the treasure, well, there's no gold or silver, no jewelry, no pearls, nothing like that. It contains a different kind of treasure. You see, my wife and I have two daughters, and when they were young, I began collecting treasures from their childhood. Memories, mementos, keepsakes. I have a number of items in this box that have my daughter's name written across the back, along with the nomenclature G1 or G2. And I suspect that some of you parents and grandparents out there may have a similar accumulation at home, perhaps in a drawer or on a shelf. But today I want to tell you about one treasure in particular. It's just a simple 3x5 index card. I mean, it fits very easily in a man's shirt pocket. And across the bottom is written one of my daughter's names and the date. She was 3 years old. And taped to this little index card are three tiny paper sculptures. Three tiny little sculptures. You'd have to look carefully because at first glance, they might just appear to be crumpled paper. But I know different. They're each labeled. The first is labeled a car. The second, a turtle. And the third, a fawn, a baby deer. I still remember the very day when those sculptures came to be on this index card. I was working at my desk, probably doing something trivial like paying bills. And my daughter, 3 years old at the time, came into the room and announced she was going to make me a gift, a sculpture. And so she happily brought with her some paper. She may have had a scissor, but she just knelt down there on the carpet beside my desk, and she began folding and crimping and snipping. And before long, she brought me the first of these three sculptures. And that was soon followed by the second, and then the third. Well, I'm glad to say at that moment, I had the wisdom, the foresight, or maybe God gave me a little jolt on the back of the head that said, "Hey, Scott, this is important. Don't be a dolt and mess this all up." And so I laid aside my desk work, and I labeled that little index card and recognized how precious these little sculptures were. And my daughter smiled, gave them to me, and went away happily. And I happily received these three gifts. I would have liked to have brought them to show you all. That would have been entirely too dangerous. You know how tape gets over the years. My daughter is grown now. But you know how tape gets. I mean, these little sculptures could have fallen off and some zealous custodian here might have found them on the floor and just mistaken them for waste paper and dropped them in the waste can. So they're safe and sound at home in their cardboard vault. I've told you this story this morning for a very important reason. Whether you realize it or not, we are all very much in that exact same situation, as my little girl was so many years ago. She created and gave a gift to her father. Brethren, that's what we are asked to do here today. All of us are asked to bring a gift to our Heavenly Father. As was mentioned earlier, moments ago, this is the holy day, the final holy day of God's festival season. And God does ask us to bring a gift to Him. And we will be doing that this morning. If you like a title for messages, here is mine: Give as You Are Able. I'm going to make two requests of you. Number one, please turn to Deuteronomy 16, and we're going to read verses 16 and 17. And the second request, while you're doing that, I've told you we'll take up the offering. If anyone needs one of the green envelopes, please raise your hand, and the ushers will be happy to bring you one. We do ask you to use those. This really does help the church in processing the offering. So I'll thank you in advance for your cooperation with that. Now, back to Deuteronomy 16. New verses here. You've never read these before, I'm sure. In verse 16, we read, "Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed." Verse 17, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given you." Notice verse 17, God's instruction. Everyone is to give as he is able. God gives us very plain and detailed instructions about many things in His Word. Tithing is one of them. He tells us that's what He wants us to bring to Him of our increase, you know, from our paycheck. And we know tithe means 10%. Isn't God nice? Aren't you glad that a tithe is 10% and not 11.83%? Wouldn't that make payday a pleasure? But here, God doesn't give us an exact quantity, an exact amount to give. He says, "Give as you are able, according to the blessing of the Lord." Do you realize? That is exactly what my little 3-year-old daughter did so many years ago. She was 3. She had no money. She didn't ask me to go buy her an expensive art kit or enroll her in some special art lessons. No. She used what she had. She used the resources available to her. She had some paper. They were scraps of paper. And she had her imagination. And she used those to create a gift for her father. She gave that with a smile. That was a gift that came from her heart. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 41 through 44. Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. I believe Mr. Kubik mentioned this account when he spoke to us on the Sabbath in the video presentation. It's the account of the widow's two mites. In verse 41, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw the people put money into the treasury, and many were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they have put in of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" Where do you think this widow's heart was? Well, brethren, I think it's pretty obvious. She clearly wanted to support the work of God. And Jesus Christ clearly noticed this. And this account is recorded here in God's Word for our benefit today. By no means is that a plea for God's people to give their last pennies. By no means. We know that. It's just recognition that Jesus Christ took note of every gift, every offering, regardless to the size. And in this case especially, his attention was drawn to the smallest. Let's finish in 1 Kings chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 39. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39, we're going to be breaking into the midst of Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. So just breaking in, speaking to God, Solomon prays, "Then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and act, and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know. For you, only you, know the hearts of all the sons of men." Did you notice that, brethren? Solomon specifically states that God's the one who knows the heart. We're told elsewhere God looks to the heart, but here we're told conclusively God knows the heart, and we're told that only God knows the hearts of all men. He knows what's in my heart. He knows what's in yours. Christ knew what was in that widow's heart 2,000 years ago, and he knew what was in my daughter's heart so long ago when she gave me her artwork as a 3-year-old. Both the widow and my daughter gave as they were able, in accordance with the blessing of God. God doesn't ask, nor request, nor expect his people to give what they can't, to give what they don't have. And God's church never tries to strong-arm anyone to give more. Nothing like that. God asks us to give according to the blessings God has given us. And he wants his people to be able to give like that widow, and like my little 3-year-old daughter was, able to do so cheerfully with a glad heart. You know, today, both my daughters are very skilled artistically. I marvel when I see what they do with a pen, a pencil, or paint. You know, my snowmen still look like stick figures. But regardless to my daughter's artistic accomplishments, That little sculpture is still a prized possession. And that's why it resides at home in that cardboard vault. God has long known why. And now today, so do you. God instructs his people to give as they are able.